Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
What I'm going to talk about this morning is found just at the end of Deuteronomy, just at the beginning of Joshua. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. But I also believe that it was the sweetest of times. So turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. I want to talk with you about that and just throw some nuggets out there that I hope that God will use to really challenge all of us in here. I think it was Pastor Carl that mentioned not long ago, if you believe your best days are behind you, how tragic of a worldview. A worldview. Remember the good old days. You know, I can remember when people would, you know, they couldn't wait to get to church. Man, I'll tell you what, I went to tent meetings when my grandmother was preaching down in Crawford County, Missouri. Pastor Harvey actually knew my grandparents, both my grandfather and my grandmother, knew that they were both pastors and pastors of churches at the same time, multiple churches at the same time. And I can remember after, I never met my grandfather, but after I grew up just a little bit, I can remember being in the meetings with my grandmother in these tents. I can remember the old church. Churches, you know, where the windows were up and the fans were going and every woman had a fan doing this 100 miles an hour and there were flies all up. Listen, the good old days weren't that good. I can remember singing the old hymns. There's nobody that loves the hymns in this room more than me. I still sing them in the shower. Don't get the picture. But I mean, I still sing them in the shower. I still sing the hymns. Those are the things that come so easily to me. They really do. I would never need the words because those are just so deeply inside of me. Just like most of the word that I ever memorized as a child was King James. So I will probably quote to you the King James if I'm quoting. But can I tell you, I remember the outhouses with the wasps behind the church. And flypaper, yes, I remember that. I remember that on Sunday nights, I can remember the purple light outside the front door of the church going, zzz, zzz. Oh, but they were the good old days, you know. And I can imagine where, let's talk about Egypt just for a sec, or the people of Israel just for a little bit. They had come out, wandered in the desert now for approximately 40 years. And remember during the journey out in the desert, there were times that they would say, we should have stayed in Egypt. It was better back then. This manna stuff that we're having, this manna, we don't like it. We don't like God's provision. We don't like what God has provided. We liked what Pharaoh provided better. As though Pharaoh was ever their provider. As though Egypt, I'm talking slavery. We're not talking about the good old days, but they hearkened back to the, we were better off back then. I mean, forget Moses, forget the miracles in the desert, forget the presence of God that we found in the desert, forget Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, where God actually spoke to man. Audibly. Spoke to man, shows up in the cleft of a rock to Moses, to the point that Moses has to turn because he's blinded from what he is seeing. Forget all of the miracles. We were better off under Pharaoh as our provider. Where we saw our loved ones beaten in slavery. I mean, whipped. Then we're talking slavery here. We're talking the worst of the wretched of the wretched. Over 400 years of slavery, at least five generations, watching their children die of disease and not get the proper health care that they should. We're talking slaves. We're talking property. And Israel, I have found, this is just the truth. I have found that those who invest little complain much. Because a lot of those that were in the desert were just doing the following. They themselves were just doing the following. And yet they saw those days as much more grand. Can I tell you, there is a chance that Moses might have known something they didn't know. Don't you think? Don't you think there were times Moses probably knew things they didn't know? And here they are, the end of the book of Deuteronomy. Moses had just died. And God literally, God says in his word at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, it says, "And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said." God buried Moses. He buried him in Moab in the valley opposite of Beth Peor. He said, but to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years of age when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. God didn't take him because he got old. It was a new season. It was a new season for Israel. You see, God's about the new season. God's word says he places a new song in my heart every day. God's word says he wants to do something new in me. God's word says he also creates a new creature in me, a new creation. Every day God creates new in me, and he places new things in my life every day. It says his strength was not gone. It says the Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. And it says just a few verses down there, since then no prophet has arisen in Israel like Moses. I mean, that's God's word declaring that. There's no one like the man that just died, yet God took him out of the leadership role. And I pray, by the way, in this transition, that I don't have to die to make room for the next leader. I pray that I will always be sensitive to the Holy Spirit enough that if he says, step away. And Pastor Mike's over here going, don't you dare. I'll kill you myself if God won't have to. Don't you dare. But I believe this was a new season that God was preparing Israel for. This was not, in spite of what we think, this was not about Moses. This was never about Moses. This was never about the great leader. This was about what God wants to do in the people of Israel. And I'll tell you why. Because Pastor Harvey told me not all that long ago, a few years back, and he said, because they carry the seed. Think about that. This is not personal. This isn't God just showing favor to Moses. He did. God gave favor to Moses. He really did. But this was, Israel carried the seed of Messiah. And every time, you know, you hear people talk about why did God have people kill so many people back then? Because they were trying to kill the seed. They were determined to kill the seed. If we can wipe out Israel, this prophecy that's taken place, we can kill the seed. Am I right? And so God wanted to set the seed free and give them their own land, because God had a plan for the seed, the generations, down through the generations that would carry the seed until Jesus was finally born. And even after that, King Herod said, I'll kill him. We'll kill all firstborn. Why? We gotta kill the seed. And Israel is complaining because the blast, The days of the past were so much better than the days of the future. Can I share with you, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I believe that our greatest days are ahead of us. And it has nothing to do with Pastor Barry. It has nothing to do with this leadership. It is carrying the seed to the world. Because the seed is still being passed on from generation to generation. This is about Jesus. It's not about the leadership of SCRC. It's not about the congregation of SCRC. But we get the journey. We get the journey. Now listen to what God says to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, I could go into all kinds of things about what Joshua felt about that time. Can you imagine the what? He's what? What am I supposed to do now? They revere him. I'm supposed to declare myself to be his heir? can you imagine the thoughts? Like, I can tell you when I was the senior associate pastor at a church when the senior pastor stepped down. And I went, oh Lord Jesus. The board calls me in and says, we want to make you interim pastor. And I wrote a new verse to near my God to thee. I don't want to be the senior pastor. I don't want to be the senior pastor. I don't want the role of senior. Can I tell you what I learned about the role of senior pastor? People get mad at you. The second in command, I love that role. I love the Joshua role in Moses' life because Joshua got to actually have relationship with the leaders, some leadership training. He got to go out. He was never the one responsible for the vision. And all of a sudden, Joshua is the man. What? Now listen to all the, how do I know that he was nervous? Because listen to all the reassurances God gives to Joshua. He's not even saying anything, and he knows that Joshua's not saying anything. He knows what Joshua needs. Now, here's what he says. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you, and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will. He didn't say I already gave it to you, by the way. Listen to what he says. He said, I will give you every place where you're to set your foot as I promised Moses. I will give you the directions. I am your Garmin. I am your cell phone on directions. I am your Waze. I am your Google Maps. And I'm not going to give it to you till it's time to turn right. How would you like it if we flip those things on? It says, when you get to the end of Sanborn Valley, turn right. When you go up a half a mile, turn left. And if you have it, we'd be sitting there going, no, I don't need that yet. Why is it we demand so much more information from God? Why do we demand all the details to see if we'll trust you? What kind of faith building is that? We demand the answers before we'll take the next step. God, I want to know where I'm going to end up. Well, let me tell you where we're going to end up. Dead. Because we'll all leave this world and we will end up in His presence. The goal isn't to land well here so that we're satisfied. One day we're going to land in a new facility. We're going to land well in a new facility. We will lose some along the way. Israel lost some along the way. But I want to tell you something. The right ones will come. Because I've learned this after 25 years of pastoring. The right ones will come. Am I right? The right ones will be there. You will be there, and we will see God send in a group of people that are new season people. And we're going to see the Spirit of the living God fall on St. Charles River Church. I believe He's already doing that. I believe we're hearing the truth, whether Pastor Mike preaches or whether Pastor Carl preaches or whether Pastor Pam preaches or whether I teach. I believe we're hearing that the Lord is saying, I want to move on you in a way I've never moved on you before. And I have to tell you, whether it's comfortable for me or not, that is not the issue. There were just times it was just not comfortable. It was just not comfortable because of conversations I used to have with individuals. It's not comfortable being the leader. Does anybody else understand what I'm saying? If you ever been in charge of something, you're responsible for something. It's not comfortable being the leader. If it ever is, resign. Because you've lost sight of how desperate you are for the presence of God in your lives. And this is what He says. I will give it to you. I'm going to tell you where to go. So when people ask me all kinds of questions today, the truth is, I don't have a lot of answers yet because He hasn't given it to me yet. Can you get that picture with me? There's questions that are being asked, and I understand that. Believe me, I was in a pew a whole lot longer than I was in this role. And you do wonder things. And you tend to, I'm saying we as Christians, we tend to ask people that don't have a clue, never would have a clue what the answer is, but we ask those people. Can you imagine the people of Israel out in the desert? What do you think Moses is doing? What do you think? I've talked to Moses. How would I know what Moses is doing up on that mountain? How would I know what he's doing? How long is he going to stay? I don't have a clue. Well, he's our leader, isn't he? He's supposed to be here. Isn't he accountable to us? And God says, no, he's my servant, my son. I sent him to lead you. I sent him to lead you. And he is my son. And God's word says, this is what God's word says, I will give you. Now we got, now Moses is gone. Now the new Moses, the new leader, God's telling him basically, I'm not going to tell you right now. Just get ready. And what he's telling us as a church is get ready. Get ready. And by the way, it's not about packing up well. Though it really did have to do with that, with the Israelites. It had to do with packing up well, because we're about to go into a land. Anybody seen or read the story of Jericho? The walls of Jericho? I mean, we got some work ahead of us here. There's a lot of packing up to do. But can I tell you, the greatest packing up we'll ever do is the packing up of making sure our spirit is right with the living God. Because it's a heart issue. It's not a what do we need in the desert issue. It's who do we need in the desert. Listen to what he says. He goes on to say. He says in verse 4, he says, your territory will extend from the desert to to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, to the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one, listen to this promise, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. No one can stand against us. No one can stand against us. And that's not a pride issue. That's a thank God for grace issue. No one can stand against us because you're covered by the blood. You're covered by the blood. Say, I am. I am covered. All of a sudden, God starts promising Joshua all these things. And he says, listen, I will be with you. It doesn't matter what you take to try and cross the Jordan. The most important is I will be with you. Wherever God is, you cannot be defeated. It isn't I want God to go where I go. I want to move where God moves. Let me say that again. I'm not wanting God to go with me. I'm wanting to go with God. And God's moving into the promised land. He's moving his people into the promised land. Is it about the promised land? No. It's still about the seed. It's still about the seed. The promised land's just part of the journey, because they would someday lose it. I don't pick on Israel because of their disobedience with God, but every few hundred years they had an issue. It was a faith issue about God. And God sends them back out, and he scatters them again. And in the last days, they're being called home to Jerusalem. I mean, we're seeing it even today. Those prophetic words are happening today. We're watching this in the Bible back in the 40s and the 50s. They would say, the eyes of the world will be upon Israel. How would we do that? Let me tell you, you turn on TV today, whether you're watching Fox News or CNN or whatever the channel of your choice is, you can't not watch Israel today. I could turn it on and have Israel, something on Israel within a minute if I turned on my TV. God's calling Israel back home today. It's going out. The call is going out. There are, get this, Americans, they're not even Christians. They're giving millions of dollars every year to move Jews from Russia back to Jerusalem. They're donating to feed the Jewish people. They're donating, we see it all the time on commercials. People are donating millions of dollars to bring Israel back home, because you see, the seed is about to come back. It's all about the seed. It's always been about the seed, and it'll always be about the seed. Now, bring it back to our micro version. We're not going into the promised land. We're just sticking in God's presence. The promised land has nothing to do with a building or a location. The promised land is Jesus. It'll always be Christ and Christ alone. Don't ever settle with the idea we're moving into our own new church. No, we're not. We are the church. We are empowered as the church, the children of the living God. The Creator still speaks through us. He breathes through us. And the presence of God, that promise that he made to the people of God, is an adopted promise that is yours today. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be with you wherever you go, to the ends of the earth. That's his promise to you, the people of God. You see, we were adopted into the vine, according to God's word. You and I were adopted. I ran into a Jew not all that long ago, a couple of years ago. I was in Florida, and there was a Jewish man that was in business it was right there along the beach. He had a business anyway, a closed store, shocking. I know. And I went in, he said, I had just watched President Netanyahu make a speech that morning, and he actually had it on in his store. He knew. This man had a sense that we're seeing history. So President Netanyahu was speaking, and I stood there against that counter, and I said, God bless that guy. I think I'd vote for him for President of the United States. He said, would you really? I said, listen, dude, I know this. This is what God's word says. The nations that bless Israel, I will bless. The nations that curse Israel, I will curse. I said, my money's on Israel because I serve Jesus Christ, the greatest of the Jews. He said, well, you know, I'm Jewish. I don't believe that he's Messiah. But I am amazed at how many Christians really love Israel. I said, you shouldn't be. Just read the New Testament. Read the New Testament. The nations that bless you, and I looked right at him and I said, I bless you, man. I want to do business with you. I want to put money in your pockets. You're Israel. But I said, I have to be honest with you. I believe I am too. Because I've been adopted. And he's promised to go with me no matter where I go. By the way, some of us go places we ought not to be. And I've heard this teaching and I completely disagree with it. Well, he won't go in the bar with you. Have you read God's word? Have you read God's? We were taught that by dear Sister Clark in our sixth grade Sunday school. God will not go with you into that bar. I got news. He was in there long before I got there. I know that because the Spirit of the living God is in there speaking into the hearts of men and women who are trying to drown out the hurts and the wounds of their lives. He's in the bedroom right now with a drug addict with a needle in his arm. He said, I am everywhere. I am omnipotent. I am ever present. He said, he is everywhere. God's in there. God's in a nursing home right now with a sweet little old lady that's about to step into eternity. And the Spirit of God is still speaking. She may not even be able to speak, but the Spirit of God is speaking into her. Come to me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Isn't that the truth? He loves us. He loves us. You know, can I tell you just a real quick observation? I got to get that clock off the wall. I don't own it anymore or I would. But let me just give you an observation. I believe too many times, and I'm going to stop, but I believe too many times. Don't let me forget that, would you? It's blue and it's sitting on a blue chair. I'll never find it in here. I believe we demand too many answers from God before we're willing to move. We demand answers. Because I'm not going to trust unless I'm satisfied that it's the way that it should be. I've got news. I have made wrong decisions in the years gone by. Do you know that I built an extra $50,000 tornado couple of walls in this building on accident? I told the congregation that. I just flat out told you at the school as we were building it. I found out, y'all remember that? I found out we had a tornado, we had built accidentally a tornado shelter in Weldon Spring. Because those nurseries and the men and women's restrooms were double steeled. It wasn't supposed to be that way. And I had people say, well, don't you think we ought to go back and have the contractor pay for that? Or don't you think somebody should have caught it? Yeah, I should have. I'm the leader. And I own that. I'm not going to throw that at anybody else. I should have caught that. I should have, but I want you to know, it was the Sunday we moved into here, I reminded everyone, if there's ever a tornado, get to the restrooms or the nurseries. And don't worry about getting permission to go in there. Just go. Because you have my permission in a tornado. Get into those rooms. And in fact, I think we did one night on a Wednesday night. We had tornado warnings in this building. And everybody got shoved into restrooms and to nurseries. You know, I've made wrong decisions out of just accidents. Things that I didn't catch through the years. And I'd love to go back and do that. I'll bet you Moses had a few things that he decided that he wished he had not done. maybe like killed a centurion, a guard with Egypt. Murdered him, don't you think? Probably was in the top five things he wished he had not done. He had to go out into exile because of that. I don't want to have to go out in exile because of a $50,000 expense. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. I own it. But we need to trust God. He's going before us, and He is making our path straight. Everybody bow your heads just for a moment. God, I ask you that you'll show us that the times ahead are the sweetest times. They're not days that we have to wonder about because you're there. They're not details that we have to gather. We don't even know yet what to ask at times. But we know this. You know all that we will ever need to know. You are the Garmin that's going to get us there. You're the Google Maps that's going to get us there. It's not just a destination. It's a place in our hearts that matters. That we would say, yes, Lord, to your will and to your good pleasure. I ask you, God, that you'll bless the families of SBRC. Those that are away on vacation still, we've got plenty that are away even today on vacation. I ask for the touch, Lord, upon Barb Hickman today. I ask you, God, with the surgery that she had on her eye this last week, I ask, God, that you will strengthen her, give her eyesight back completely to her, that her eyes will be healthy. I look for you, God. I look for your presence to be in the Hickman's family that are away today because of the surgery. I look for the Spirit of God to be upon Steve and Kathy Gilbert and their entire family as we go to Denver to memorialize a precious friend and brother, part of our church family, Jim Gilbert, that God, you took home just a couple weeks ago. We ask you, God, it's about you going with us through the journey. And the days ahead are the sweetest days. It truly is the best of times. Teach us, God, that in those days where we have questions, that we don't panic and that we don't consider them the worst of times because we just don't have answers. It's okay. God, you are the answer. That's the only answer I'm going to need. And you'll reveal things to me as you said you would with Joshua. I will show you everywhere you're to set your foot. Whether it's us as a church family or us as individual families or us as just individuals. God, you are faithful to give the directions when we most need them. Thank you for your faithfulness. I ask you, God, that you would instill faith in us to believe without tons of details that you have gone before us already and you have made our path straight wherever the there is. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a huge hand, would you? Come on, give Him a faith hand.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.